Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different spooky trade paperback. Ooh. Almost every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read spooky comics.
For the fifth time in a row, for the first time.
Yeah, but it's like our
sixth, Happy Halloween, everybody.
Sixth or seventh spooky book. Happy Halloween. Oh yeah, this comes out on Halloween.
I'm dressed up as Wolverine right now. A leather jacket.
I'm dressed up as the thing I feared my entire life. A dad. Father.
The scariest thing.
And it's as scary as you think. We got different spooky time codes in our spooky description. We got the book, which is Spooky Jughead the Hunger.
Nah, it's just Jughead the Hunger.
Spooky Backrider Batter, Spooky Polis, but we start with spooky news.
News is always spooky nowadays, it feels like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but not comic news.
Yep, not comic news.
Nathan, what news you got?
Not a whole lot of spooky news, because New York Comic Con just happened, I feel like, so I didn't really have much. But if you were afraid that Peach Momoko is going to go away from X-Men comics, you're a big dumb idiot, because she's going to start in Demon Days. No. This January, she's going to do Psy Dimensional Rivals, which is picking up her like Psylocke story from the Demon Days book that she did. So she's still on X-Men, baby.
I thought her name was like Canon or something.
No, it's Psy is a psychic warrior who uses her deadly skills to fight yokai in feudal Japan. And it's that's the reimagined Psylocke, which is the one that's in Marvel Rivals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming back kind of in January, which is cool. I want to read the OG Demon Days. That sounds pretty cool. But she's been committed to X-Men stuff for a while.
Yeah, I guess so. Did you see, like, who else was going to be on that book?
I mean, it's her writing and drawing it.
It's also going to be, like, I think it's co-written, and the art is co-arted.
Really?
By Stan Sakai.
What?
Yeah, that's what...
Is he lettering it?
I don't know. And then there's also...
Wait, that would be fucking sick.
And then there's also... I imagine, right?
Let me look it up.
Where the fuck's that list? Will unite an all-star lineup of artists, including Stan Sakai, Asad Ribic, Natasha Bustos, Mike Del Mundo, Sarah Pacelli, and more. That may be like backups or something.
Yeah, it must be. Or like maybe like B-story type things.
Yeah. So Psy debuted in Demon Days, X-Men.
Right.
So that's probably what you're thinking of. But yeah, that's exciting. Because
what's the book called? Is it not called?
It is Psy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Psy, Dimensional Rivals.
Mm-hmm.
She's keeping that game afloat.
I know, yeah. She's carrying the X-Men on her back.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I know. That was like kind of the thing I was most bummed out, mostly because it's the only Ultimate thing I'm reading. But like,
right.
It's just like, it's just so different from Marvel. And it's like so special.
I'm so happy that it like exists.
Yeah, it's a real happy book, kind of. It's really dark, but it's like I'm happy when I'm reading it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty dark.
And I've only really seen like her covers and stuff, and then she just comes out swinging with some writing and some full sequentials and stuff. So it's just...
She puts back matter at the end of every issue, and it's like, this is a thing in Japan that you didn't know about, or like, this is a tradition.
Look at this shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn, so much love for the game.
She puts a character page in the front.
I know. And we love a roster.
Love a roster.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm glad she's still not bored of X-Men.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things I have here were New York Comic Con news, but I just kind of thought it'd be a little boring to say to Serena. But
okay.
We got a boring, normal episode, you know, with boring Nathan. Humanoids, Nathan, the publisher.
Oh yeah, they're out of here.
Filing Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
Mm.
And that's the bad one.
I haven't even read the first chapter, dude.
That's the dunzo, yeah. That means they're liquidating all their assets.
Whoa.
In the dempo.
Does that mean we can buy some of it?
What, like file cabinets?
Properties? IP?
Do you want to buy some IP?
There might be some diamonds in the rough over there.
We just have the ankle.
Yeah, dude, that imagine if we get the ankle.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
And just fuck it up.
we do a sequel. It's our first time drawing a comic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I bought a copy of the ankle because I've always wanted one, but never really pulled the trigger for some reason. But I'm like, oh, they'll be out of print like in a couple months.
So true.
I grabbed one real
quick.
Wow,
that's such a good point.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be picked up by somebody. Dark Horse
it
or something.
Yeah, it feels like that could go somewhere else.
Feels like that could go to Dark Horse or IDW.
Did you have anything else there?
No, right? That's literally the only thing I could find that was...
Okay.
Whatever.
Anything like Star Wars comics?
Sometimes.
Most of the time, a character that you've been just begging for, just wishing for, dreaming of having their own mini solo series?
Who's the flying dude that had Anakin as a slave? Watto?
Watto?
Yeah. Is there a Watto series you're about to tell me about?
Close.
Fuck.
Star Wars Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Coming this February with Mark Guggenheim and Kieran McCowan and Laura Braga.
Okay.
I think it's like a mini series or something.
Wow. That's got to be way annoying to read.
His dialogue is pretty shitty.
Misa is not going to read that. Okay. Yeah. Unless it's the Darth Jar Jar stuff.
I don't think so. Because that'd be Legends. And they're not
publishing
it was in
Legends. The Lego stuff. It was in one of the Lego movie, Lego Star Wars shorts.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think.
That's not canon.
It's close to being canon. It's closer to being canon than not being canon at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, Disney said, like, yeah, let's go with that.
if it'll get you off of our back. That's fun. I wonder, like, what the art was going to look like on that. It'd be cool if they went gritty or something.
In other Star Wars news, there's a Star Wars manga coming out.
Cool.
It'll be set after Order 66. That's the story.
Interesting.
It's coming next summer.
What characters are going to be it?
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe people we know, maybe people we don't know.
I was people we don't know, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mangas, especially the original ones, it's like new characters.
So. Yeah, that's true. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that, I think there was a trooper on the cover. So it might be like a stormtrooper story.
He's like, did I miss an email?
It's like,
what the hell's going on?
Ah, shit. I killed so many of my bosses.
Yeah, true.
Nathan.
Yo.
I think I sent you a TikTok about this. Swamp Thing 1989 is a series coming out. It is issues that would have come out in 1989.
Oh, the Jesus stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Books that where Swamp Thing meets Jesus.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Written by a guy, but DC had the cold feet about it. Mm-hmm. So they pulled the comics.
And they're like, you know what? We'll wait until the political climate is a lot cooler to do this. And they're like, okay, 2025. Yeah.
And that's a thing that's coming out. I don't know if like all the artwork was done on those, but the scripts definitely still exist. And then I think some people are filling in with the artwork and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought that was kind of crazy.
It is. It's pretty sick that they were like, we got this.
I didn't realize there was like how much stuff's like in the vault, you know?
I know. Imagine what else is in there.
Like
when Batman meets Jesus.
When Superman meets Jesus. But like they had the Red Hood thing, like what if he lived stories,
true.
And shit like that. They just kind of were like, oh, I'll just put this in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah, I love that they're digging into the archives.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is cool.
It can't be good. I can't imagine. But like it'll be like interesting. I don't think that run is very like praised necessarily.
That run of Swamp Thing?
Just because it's right after Alan Moore's run, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little tough to... I've heard people like it, but like I don't know if it's talked about quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough because you're kind of getting overshadowed. But at least he was swinging for the fences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Sticking to his guns. Because when they didn't publish it, he quit the book altogether.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty punk rock.
Yeah, dude.
So at least at a base, it'll be interesting to see what they thought was worth like cutting. You know what I mean? Even if it was like, I wonder how much Jesus is in there. I wonder if he like throws a punch or something. Because
the idea doesn't seem like it's
like that bad.
Yeah. Unless it is that bad. You know, when they saw it like fully formed, you know?
Uh-huh.
But that comes out sometime next year.
Cool.
Tilly Walden has a new graphic novel coming out.
Cool.
Yeah. Coming out in March. Actually, or no, in May. I think it might be May 26th or it might be May 2026.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. It's called Charity and Sylvia, coming out through one of those book publishers.
One of them?
Yeah.
May 26th is a Tuesday, so I think it meant sometime in May of next year.
I think like graphic novels come out on Tuesdays.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. So
I like Tilly Walden. I haven't read her second Clementine volume.
Or the third one.
Three?
There's three of them. Yeah.
Wow, that's such good news.
What about this one?
I'll read that one too. Fuck
yeah.
It. I think she's a great storyteller based off the one thing I read.
Yeah. Nathan, Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Good, I think. Is that the Joshua Williamson one?
Correct.
I don't really care about them. They're confusing to me.
Why are they confusing?
What the hell are they?
Team.
Fair enough.
I don't know what the.
But they like go back in time a lot.
Do they?
I think so.
Okay.
And they sometimes they had Superman in the beginning.
Uh huh.
That's all I know.
Yeah, I
know. They have the rings. Do they need the rings for powers?
I don't know.
Why do they have the ring?
Isn't it like normal? Isn't it like heroes we know? Or is
no.
it?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's like a original cast of characters that are for Legion.
I'm not sure then.
Yeah. So, or maybe sometimes, you know, they got some fill ins.
Yeah.
Because I think Superboy. Like when he in the Bendis run of Superman, when he aged up John Kent to be like 16 for some reason, then I think he joined the Legion of Superheroes for a little bit. So I think they take some outsiders.
I don't think that's like one of the definitive runs, but
no, I don't think so.
Okay, so then I don't know what the deal is. I thought like Red Tornado was in the team or something like that, but
I don't think so.
Fine, let's Google it real quick.
Maybe we just need to do... We need to educate and do Legion of Superheroes book.
Legion Super...
Members.
Original team, 1958. Let's go back. Cosmic Boy, Saturn Girl, Lightning Lad. The Triplicate Girl. Phantom Girl. Oh, we know Phantom Girl.
Don't we? No.
Oh, we know that. I'm thinking of someone else. Superboy at some point. Chameleon Boy, Colossal Boy, Invisible Kid, Kid Quantum. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Supergirl. Anyway, okay. So there are...
Sun Boy.
Bouncing Boy.
Bouncing Boy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Give me that guy.
I wonder what like the...
Oh my God, he's fat.
What'd you think, dude?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
You can't be a skinny Bouncing Boy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like being a skinny chef.
He'd be bouncing around like a football. No one would know where he's going.
Yeah. Chemical King, a good name.
They were. I mean, this was like when you could just dartboard like adjective and fucking kid or lad. You know what I mean?
Anyway, that's cool. So we'll see how he does with that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Joshua Williamson?
He's super hit or miss, I think, for me.
Okay,
but I think I've read stuff that I like. Okay, I just have to look it up. What that was?
He had a book called Birthright at Image, and that fucks. I think it's really good.
Birthright.
I didn't get that far in it, but what I read, that was really good.
Mm-hmm. He has Nailbiter, which I wasn't crazy about.
Okay.
He did...
Some Flash? Rebirth Flash?
Some Rebirth Flash, yep.
Did some Batman here and there, I guess.
He did Batman Flash the Button.
The Button.
He did Infinite Frontier, some Deathstroke Incorporated, Dark Crisis. He did Night Terrors, which I actually liked that.
Oh, right.
That one. Some Superman stuff that's supposed to be pretty good. Some Green Arrow with Phil Hester. Birthright, yep. Duke, yeah, Joe. I don't know if I've read enough from him. Oh,
yeah, he's on Joe.
I don't know if I've read enough from him to say, like, yes or no. But I remember just not being super crazy about Nailbiter and then Big Two stuff, and who knows.
Right.
If that's, like, a genuine reflection on what he's able to do.
Okay. This might be old news. I mean, it is old news, but I don't know if we talked about it. But did we talk about, like, some of the crossover characters that are going to be in DCKO?
No.
That are from, like...
Oh, Absolute?
Other universes?
Absolute?
No.
I think there is going to be Absolute, though, isn't there? Or is that a spoiler?
It might be a spoiler, but we'll see.
Did Joshua Williamson do Frostbite?
Maybe.
I like that book a lot.
Here's, all right, I'm going to name off some people. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell me if Superman can beat them. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Annabelle the doll.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm not sure what the breadth of her powers are.
He's not good at magic, so I'm not sure if he's good with spirits or anything.
Yeah, it seems pretty magic based. I say she clears them, yeah.
Okay.
Joshua Williamson did do Frostbite, and I do like that, so.
Okay. Red Sonja.
No, he fucking wallops her. Sleeps her in one punch.
Vampirella.
She have her boobies out?
Partially.
That could be tough.
Yeah. A lot of side boob.
Notoriously shallow guy, Superman. No, I think he beats her.
Okay. Sub-Zero.
Just based off me playing that matchup in Injustice when they had the Sub-Zero DLC, he has a way better moveset
and
combo, so I think Sub-Zero is much better there.
Mm-hmm. Very quick.
Yeah.
Homelander.
Is Homelander going to be in DCKO?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I'm going to show you a picture when we're done with this exercise.
No, I don't think so. Not at least the boy, not like Amazon the Boys Superman. Or Amazon the Boys Homelander, I don't think so.
They're like the same in the comics.
Okay, then I would say no.
Sam. From
Love Sam.
Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
What are you talking about? No, he visions her in half.
Okay, so this is like something I heard about, and then this is like some artwork that I saw. And that's like, I think those are people that are going to be in it at some point. And I guess Scott Snyder confirmed this, probably get people to buy the book.
What?
Yeah.
Did Patrick Horvath approve this?
I fucking hope so. what a great
leap. I could believe Sub-Zero coming in.
Because Warner Bros. Same with Annabelle,
I guess. It'd be an interesting pick. You'd think that they'd have better property.
And then, I mean, like, comics cross over with other publishers all the time, you know?
This looks real.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's real.
I would love to see that just because it's batshit crazy. What is Sam going to do in this situation? But
I just want Superman to, like, wipe the floor with Homelander.
Yeah.
Because that would just be satisfying.
It would be cool. Put an end to the... If anybody,
the discourse, yeah.
If anybody ever seriously talks about it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That would be crazy. That would be the greatest event of all time, I think. Because I read the first issue this week, and I'm just like, whenever Scott Snyder does a DC event, it's just nonsense. Like, I have no idea how we got here, but I just know we're fighting, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, anybody that's trying to, like, make sense of it, good luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get the general idea, but who comes up with this?
It's kind of like a picture book with words, you know?
A comic book?
No. You know, you could probably get the gist by looking at it, you know?
I like would understand about the same, yeah.
Very Marvel method-y, I think.
Yeah, potentially. I think there's like one concept in there that I grasped and I was like, okay, that's kind of fun, I guess. Because there's like Omega energy and Alpha energy. And like,
yeah. You
know, we give Alpha energy here. Because we're on Earth.
Of course.
But the Omega's over there because Darkseid. And I'm like, okay, I can see that being a thing. But everywhere, like him trying to set all that up, and he's like, oh, actually, there's this thing in the middle of the Earth, and they got to go there, and then only like 20 of them can get in.
There were like straight up just dialogue pages.
There were. And it's because you have to set up so much, but then also have like a little bit of fighting. So I understand why. It was also a big issue, but there was a lot of words.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just crazy. It felt like DC Metal.
Right.
Where I'm just like, I don't know what's happening, man. Just show me Batman with a cool spiky guitar or something.
Yeah. And then last thing I have, I guess there's a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover animated series.
Oh, yeah.
That's being worked on.
Based off of the Robert Kirkman stuff.
Yeah, and John Universe shit. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that gets somewhere. I think Robert Kirkman's got enough pull to make that happen. So
I think so. Well, it would be the first time it's based off of his work, but not his like property necessarily. You know what I mean?
Marvel Zombies.
You got me there. Continue.
Yeah, shut up. Anyway.
But he's not running Marvel Zombies. Like, I guess we don't know for sure if you'd be writing this, but.
And then the adaptation's like not even close, you know?
Yeah.
It's just
it's bad.
The concept,
yeah.
You know? But anyway, that's all the news I had. What book did we read this week, Dan?
The spooky book we read this week is Jughead the Hunger.
Is there?
Volume 1, which is by Frank Thierry.
A lot of people.
Of Here There Be Godzilla, Here Beer.
Here
There Be Some Pirates and We Fight Godzilla.
Yeah.
Art from Michael Walsh, Pat and Tim Kennedy. I guess they're a group. And Joe Eisma with Ingers Bob Smith, Jim Amash. Colors from Michael Walsh, D. Cuniff, Matt Herms, and some other people.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like, if I could guess what the publication history of this is, just purely off of speculation and not researching this at all, it seems like they had a really good banger one-shot, and then they made a series after this. And this includes the one-shot, and then the first couple issues of the somewhat limited or ongoing series of Jughead the Hunger.
But also, like, the one-shot doesn't feel standalone. Like, it definitely goes right into the other ones, you know?
It definitely does. So maybe they were testing the water a little bit.
It also seems like, I think this is when, like, the Chilling Adventures stuff started.
And like, is that like a Archie thing?
I think that's what all the spooky Archie stuff is.
Oh, okay, cool.
So like there's Afterlife with Archie, there's Vampironica,
mm-hmm.
there's Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm. Is she an Archie character?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So that there's like a Netflix show that was pretty popular.
Yeah.
And then Jughead the Hunger, of course.
Yeah, Jughead the Hunger. Which this is pretty fun. I think it's so cool that Archie just does crazy shit.
You know what I mean? I'm like this can't possibly fit into anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like I think they have like those digest things, and then they have like comics like this
mm-hmm.
in floppies, and I think those are just all Elseworlds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they would have to be.
Because like just within this trade, there's like continuity
mix-ups,
you know?
Yeah.
So
I just take this as Archie Black Label.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
which is fun.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh my God, they just fucking killed that guy.
Yeah.
This like generational character or whatever.
Like a pretty main cast character. There's like, oh, he's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, man, Michael Walsh is a fucking phenomenal horror artist.
He's a fucking dog.
He is
the man.
As soon as I saw him on this, I was like, holy shit, here we are. Lock in, baby. He's only for the one shot. Which I was a little bit sad about, but then the follow-up artists are really, really like strong as well. So
I think Michael Walsh was doing like his best Francesco Francavilla impression.
Oh, I don't think so.
Kind of based off of Afterlife with Archie. But I think Afterlife with Archie kind of like established this color palette.
Yeah, 100% he did.
And that color palette does a ton of heavy lifting.
It does, dude. I love the coloring of this book.
Yeah.
Even though it's like an impression, I don't know, maybe it's bad to say that.
I think it's almost like established. Like they're like, you have these four colors to work with.
Yeah.
That's it.
You got orange, deep orange.
Purple and black.
Some yellow and blue.
Yeah.
Or like a purple, yeah.
And so like.
And it fucking rules, dude.
I could read like a comic about accounting if it had this if it had this color palette.
If fucking outside is a deep red color, I'm in, dude.
It's like spooky for some reason.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I, you know, it would definitely affect my enjoyment if it was colored differently.
1,000%, yeah.
But
it's like, why even try, you know?
Yeah,
this works, and it's just it's almost cool to have it consistent like that.
They're so lucky that Archie is so synonymous with like the color orange. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, yeah. Because like, imagine everything across this like spooky line is all like colored like kind of in the same way.
Yeah, it's cool.
That and you can have all these different artists and it still feels like together and connected, you know?
Yeah.
This is not the best standalone trade, I don't think.
No, it's not complete feeling for sure.
Because it's not the complete story. It is just the first trade, which is what we do. But it does like have a stopping point, but it's just like the arc isn't all that satisfying, I don't think.
Yeah, nothing really resolves.
Yeah, it's just kind of how this starts. Because I think it's like a 16-issue series altogether.
Oh, really?
And we only
read technically just the first three.
Yeah.
Because it's a one-shot and then we read 1, 2, and 3 of Jughead the Hunger.
Right. I wonder how that went, but should we just get into it?
Yeah. I think the one shot's like a double sized issue, I want to say.
Maybe.
But so in total, it's like a regular trade size. But anyway, the one shot, it starts off with Miss Grundy's decapitation from a werewolf in the middle of the night.
We don't know what it is.
You see a, or a guy with a super hairy arm. But that you could see be a Bigfoot. Super hairy arm. Okay, could be Bigfoot. But the police, they think it's like a new serial killer called the Riverdale Ripper. And when Jughead is like walking home that night, he runs into Dilton, which is just probably some recurring character in the Archer universe. I don't know.
When they name drop somebody, Dilton, I'm like, oh, of course.
The most 60s names in this.
Yeah, for sure.
You got Miss Grundy. You got Dilton. There's a guy named Bingo later.
Yeah. Cousin Bingo.
Cousin Bingo. But so Jughead runs into Dilton. He then turns into a werewolf and kills Dilton, but he doesn't really remember it in the morning. But he wakes up and pieces together from all the blood and stuff on him that he is the Riverdale Ripper.
And Dilton's arm and glasses are on his bedroom floor.
So he's like, I think I did something here.
You're like, uh-oh.
So he runs to see Archie, who ended up seeing the whole thing. And he's like, bro, you turned into a werewolf. It's kind of crazy. But and before they can really figure out what their next move is, Betty shows up and attacks Jughead and reveals that her family comes from a long line of werewolf hunters. And Jughead's family is like a long line of werewolves, I guess. And they've just always been hunting each other. And so Archie stops her
for like 60 years.
Yeah, for like a really long time. And Archie stops her from killing Jughead. And they try to like cure Jughead instead of like killing him. And this works for a while. But one night Jughead turns to a werewolf again and he murders Reggie and then goes on the run. So that was that first issue. Michael Walsh is so good in this. I just got to say again.
Oh, man.
I love these pages where he transitions into a werewolf and we, like, see it happen. Because it feels very, like those old movies where, I don't know, what's the movie I'm thinking of where they did, like, a practical transition into a werewolf?
American Werewolf in London.
Wow. Is that the one? Is that the one where you see his, like,
that's like the nose first turns into one. A snout? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. I've just seen the clip where he transitions.
That movie like fucking set the stage for that shit.
It is crazy. And I think he gets some inspiration from that because you see some like when his arm turns into like werewolf and stuff.
Yeah. I watched that movie on the way to London.
Nice.
just in case.
You got to be prepared.
That's the only,
you got to see how they fix it.
It's the only British movie. It's not even British, but like that's all I can think of. Yeah, this is a double-sized issue, 40 pages.
Nice. And like seeing him just open his eyes and they're like orange is like super eerie feeling. You know what I mean? Just like the deep look into your soul. I just love this shit.
Dude, I had this like double page spread of that. And like they like piece the two pages together, but like his like nose doesn't line up.
Oh, that sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Because when I read it, I was like, this is cool.
Because I was like, I guess maybe it could be like a mirage kind of effect or like kind of.
Maybe they did that intentionally for printing purposes because like when it goes into like the crease of the book.
Yeah, it probably works really well. But
right. But digitally, it's obviously not ideal. But I like turned to this page and I was like, God, Michael's a beast.
Michael Walsh is a treasure.
Yeah, I think I'll always follow like what he's doing. You know, I know I miss Frankenstein, which is the most recent example of something that he's done, but
that one fucks pretty hard too.
Yeah, I gotta pick that up.
Does he ever not do horror?
Yeah, he did a Black Hammer Justice League crossover. Banger.
Was that him?
That was him.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that. But this is just like where he lives. And I think that's okay. He never needs to come out.
He's got the strength for it for sure.
Like he wants to do something else, that's fine. But he's doing that Exquisite Corpses right now. Is that right? Is he doing the art on that?
I don't know. I saw that pop up in my Kindle store and I was like, that seems like a good name for a book. But if that is him, I'll check it out.
I know he's writing it.
Mm.
Hold on. Because like every time I go on fucking Blue Sky or some shit and I follow him, he's just reposting everything Exquisite Corpses. Hey, Spoke Exquisite.
E-X-Q-U-I-S-I-T-E.
X?
E-X-Q-U-I-S-I-T-E. Yeah. from Image Comics, Exquisite Corpses. His name is on the book. Tynion is on it as well.
Oh, so, he is the artist.
Cool. Okay. I'm checking that out.
Might be fuckwittable.
Fuckwittable?
Mm-hmm. My fuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it says it's just created by them. I don't know.
There's like other...
There could be artists, other artists
and writers and stuff. I think that's like the purpose. I think other people come in and do like different issues and stuff.
Right.
I've heard good things, but I just like, there's something about it. I don't think it's a very good name.
Kind of intriguing.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I love the idea that Betty has just been a werewolf hunter the whole time.
Hell yeah, dude.
She like befriended Archie and the group to just like keep an eye on Jughead, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just like having a long lineage of family that is just, there's werewolves and there's werewolf hunters, and they're just like this family that continues to have generations of
fake for Archie.
I think that's
just in order to like, I mean, maybe at first,
Daniel.
And then there became something more. And then,
and then she realized that Archie has the dog in him.
I don't think I could insert myself in any friend group if I was trying, you know?
Dude, yeah. I don't think I would. I'm barely holding on to what I got.
That's what I'm saying. I always forget that Jughead's dog name is Hot Dog.
That's such a good name.
Good name. Not as good as Dilton, though.
Dilton's a great name. I like the reveal with Reggie at the end being killed, because that's like one of the main cast people, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's cool. They're taking big hits.
When Betty's like revealed to be like this werewolf hunter and like beats up Jughead, she like throws him through a door, and then she's fucking strapped and like points a gun at his. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm He's like goodbye, Christ. Jughead. I'm like, whoa, it just started.
I know, yeah. And it's like, what the fuck?
So that's always just
I like that
funny.
The thing that they try to cure him with is wolfsbane, which is like a plant.
Yeah, it's like a flower or something.
Yeah. I just think that's funny because it has wolf in the name. They're like, of course, it's wolfsbane. But yeah, like this, I don't know why this botanical garden is like such a deep red coloring, but it's so awesome when he like transitions into the wolf and we see like his face.
I don't think that's like the background necessarily. I think that's just kind of like to add intensity to the...
No, because the whole scene is like red. Like the whole pages are like this deep red color.
Yeah.
Which works. Pretty cool.
And then like after he kills Reggie, like his like Reggie's like skin is just like pale white.
Yeah.
And it's just very like creepy looking.
It's a good,
I'm like, oh, he's been dead for a minute.
Yeah. You know? It's a good reveal. But yeah, that was the one shot. And so now who knows how much time has passed between the publication of the one shot and this issue one.
I mean, I can look it up, but it definitely lends itself to more, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Because it opens up the idea of like Betty's whole family being werewolf and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have just stopped it right there and it would have been a pretty good one shot. That leaves you wanting more. But then we get issue one, which, you know, it kind of just picks up immediately from where we left off. We see Reggie's kind of rushed to the emergency room after he was attacked by Jughead, and he seemingly turns into a werewolf himself, but we don't see it yet. Jughead has run off to join the circus, and he chains himself up at night to keep the other people safe. Archie and Betty are looking for Jughead, and they get Betty's werewolf hunting cousin Cooper to help. And Jughead wakes up at the middle of the night, unchained, and he's all bloodied, which means that he has killed again, which also means that someone let him loose on purpose from his chains. And then there's a jump to Veronica on the phone with Reggie, who gets Veronica to open up the front door, and then we see Reggie has turned into a werewolf in front of her and is about to kill her or something. So he's a werewolf now too.
That means he didn't kill Reggie.
He didn't kill Reggie, he just infected him? Turned him? He was always a werewolf? I don't know.
No.
Do werewolves infect other people and turn them into werewolves?
Yeah, when they're like attacked.
How do they do that in Twilight? Is that how they do it?
Well,
is Jacob trying to turn?
No, they don't really turn anybody in Twilight.
They just got it.
It's like a genetic thing.
Yeah, gene. Interesting. But in this, you can infect someone with werewolf, I guess.
I think normally, like, all Wolfman stuff. Like, it's like if you could be scratched or like attacked or something, you know, if you're like left alive. Well, yeah, if you're left alive, because like in this, they talk about how they're hungry or whatever.
That's true.
Yeah. And so it's like they're eating them. Mm-hmm. So if there's nothing left to turn, you know?
Right, then
you won't turn. Yeah, so.
But Reggie was like still alive.
I guess. He looked pretty fucking dead.
He looked pretty dead in that last page.
Yeah.
But they got him to the emergency room and he was fine. So I don't know.
Jughead did the just stereotypical thing on a runaway and just joined the circus.
I know. which is fun. I like that when he turns into a werewolf, he still has his little crown on.
Yeah, that's fun.
I think that's cool. Pretty bold of a fashion choice in general to wear a crown. But I like that Jughead rocks it.
Yeah.
So at the end of this, Reggie calls Veronica and he's like, you should open your front door because I'm here. And she's like, okay. And then that's when Reggie comes in as a werewolf. But I feel like you could just break a window as a werewolf and get in there. I don't know why you needed someone to open the door for you.
It was like the vampires and sinners.
Maybe it's vampire rules.
Yeah, invite me in. And so Jughead had a little crush at the circus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's his like first victim.
Yeah.
When he gets let out.
Yeah, she gets killed.
He normally chains himself in like a vault or something. I don't know if you said that, but
yeah. He chains himself up to like protect other people, but somebody had unlocked him when he was already transitioned, I guess. And I like that the lions are at the circus are like scared of him.
Yeah, they like saw like what happened.
Yeah, they saw him like, what the fuck was that?
Did you see this drawing of the dog?
That's a good dog drawing.
I don't know. I just like didn't expect it.
The angle of it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because he's howling. Is that hot dog?
That's hot dog.
Nice.
He took hot dog with him.
I like this drawing of hot dog.
Good hot dog drawing. Yeah.
The colors really carries this for me just because the transition between Michael Walsh and this is like, you feel it like a little bit, but the coloring makes it feel
smooth.
Yeah, pretty smooth.
Right.
And keeps the same spooky vibes.
Yeah, I wasn't like looking for it too hard.
I wasn't either. I think this artist kind of reminds me of like a Jason Howard almost.
Yeah.
And I say that just because he's the only other werewolf book that, that we've read.
It is like similar like werewolf styles, you know?
Yeah. But it's good. I think it's Pat and Kim or something.
Yeah.
That are the artists on this. And I think they do good.
Pat and Tim.
Something like Kim?
I don't know. But Reggie, he can talk.
As werewolf.
Yeah, as werewolf.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, it's neat. Cause how's he do that?
I didn't pick up on that.
Mm.
Or I didn't even notice that was like a thing that...
Really? They talk about it.
I know that they like... When he talked, I wasn't like, oh, wow, he could talk, but Jughead can't. I don't think we know if Jughead can talk as a werewolf
yet. Well, he's not like remembering anything that happens. He didn't even know he was a werewolf for a couple of days.
But Jughead could be a talking werewolf, but then he just doesn't remember what he says.
Oh, he blacks out.
Yeah, he like blacks out. he literally does black out.
Yeah.
When he turns into a werewolf, so.
But no, with alcohol, though.
Yeah, no, he turns into a werewolf and he drunk texts his ex.
Yeah. You up?
As a werewolf.
I miss you. And then eats him.
Yeah, that's how he gets him.
That'd be such a funny werewolf.
That's such a good... I think we have an idea. You drink like a certain IPA that has like a werewolf on it and turns you into a werewolf.
Or like you only get turned into a werewolf when you black out from alcohol.
Oh, that's a good idea too.
Yeah. And then like...
You have like... You wake up with pounding headaches and it's actually because like...
The only cure for your hangover... Or like, you know how you get really hungry when you're drunk?
Yeah.
You want Taco Bell or something?
Oh, yeah.
But no, human flesh is the only thing that will work.
But it only happens if you do it on a full moon. Like, if you get drunk off the same stuff and you get blackout, it doesn't
it's
happen.
It's got to be the perfect storm.
Yeah, it's got to be full moon. You got to have an ex that's ready to be texted.
Yeah.
I think
but,
we got some.
But when you like, when you're going out and you're blacking out a lot, you're meeting a lot of people.
Yeah.
Dating, you know, meeting people in the club life.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of exes, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is good.
Yeah. Write this down.
So
issue two, but the third issue in this.
Yeah.
You know.
You understand.
We get it.
So Werewolf Reggie and Veronica are working together and they're killing people together. Archie and Betty get equipped with guns and Silver Bullets to fight Jughead, and they track him to the circus that Jughead had joined, but no one has seen him in a while. But since Jughead had killed Abby or whoever the person that was working there, the circus people want to join the hunt for Jughead. And meanwhile, Jughead, he's, you know, trying to lay low. He's all over the news, and he's caught and about to get arrested by some cops. But there's another werewolf, a third one, that saves him, which ends up being Jughead's cousin Bingo. Which is a sick name for a character.
Hell yeah.
Because he, like, it's a werewolf. And he's like, what the hell? Who's this? And I'm like, is that Reggie? Because he seems to have much hairier shoulders now. And then he turns out, and Jughead's like, Bingo.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine, like, the delivery of the line. Pretty funny. Right. But I like that Archie and Betty have, like, a whole army of, like, carnies now.
Right.
That's pretty fun.
She's got, like, a cousin who just has a bunch of guns in his trunk. Did you see the Punisher reference?
No.
So, like...
Oh, he talks about some dude with, like, a skull in their chest,
yeah,
right?
It's like one of those vans, some nut job with a skull in his chest would drive around in.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I didn't catch that,
yeah.
Isn't there, like, a Punisher and Archie crossover book, too?
Yeah, there is. I want to read that one really
bad. That's probably what they're talking about.
I also want to read the Punisher Eminem issue. It's got to be good.
I've never even heard of that.
You never heard of that?
I feel like I've looked into Archie crossovers specifically, and I haven't heard of that, no.
It's Punisher and Eminem, not Archie and Eminem.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I should hunt for that. Probably really hard to find.
Did you have it?
I don't think so.
No. Huh.
That sounds like something I would have bought when I first got into comics, because I've known about it for forever.
Yeah,
it's just funny that it exists.
It's kind of gimmicky.
Yeah. But there's this crazy scene in this issue where the cop gets, like, ripped in half, and then his, like, intestines start going over, like, the other cop, and he's like, oh, get this guy's intestines off of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a crazy thing to say.
Dude, the rip from, like, from the trap down.
Oh, my God. I hate that. It happens in The Boys.
It happens in The Boys. Happens in Invincible, I feel like.
Oh, God.
It's such a brutal way to go.
Like, come on. An uneven cut. What are we doing?
Right down the middle, right down the skull.
Don't be that guy like in that TikTok show where they try and cut things in half perfectly.
Oh, yeah. It's like, even if you had like unlimited strength, I feel like that's not how the body would tear, you know?
I feel like if you have unlimited strength, like you're trying to go for a head to like split down the middle, you know what I mean?
I know.
Feel like that's the way that you do
it. It's not
it.
Like he has his hand on his shoulder and on his neck. That's how it'd rip. But like, it feels like...
You know, he starts in the middle.
Oh, so does he? Does he like?
Yeah, look.
Scratch him.
No, he like stabs him through the back.
Oh, okay, I see.
So I think he was just kind of going with whatever worked.
All right, I like this now. Though. Okay, it makes sense.
This is good now. But yeah, pretty brutal. I like that they don't really hold back on some of the gore.
I think that's what you got to do with these sort of things
to like, make it work.
Yeah, like because the Archie and Predator book.
Yeah.
Like he gets in there. It's really Predator.
It's good because I wouldn't even consider Archie like a kid friendly book, like normally, I don't think.
Normally, yeah, it's super kid friendly.
Is it?
Yeah,
I mean it's like high school dating and stuff, so it's not like it's for like kids necessarily.
I guess not.
But yeah, I like that they lean in either way.
I can't say there's like a lot of dark themes in like Archie books.
Yeah, that's true. And some of the early stuff, especially. So then let's go into issue 3. So Bingo reveals that he had, hold on, Bingo reveals he had the Cooper family hunting him, and he used werewolf Jughead to fake his own death, and that he was the one that released Jughead from his chains because he wants Jughead to reach his full potential, even if it means killing innocent people. That makes him like not the good guy in this book for sure. You might have thought that after he ripped up the cop, not a good guy still.
Hmm.
So he forces Jughead into his werewolf form by scratching him. I guess that's the thing that he could do. And the circus guys show up and they get killed by both Jughead and Bingo as werewolves. And then Archie and Betty get there kind of like right after them. I don't know where they were when everybody was getting ripped up, but they shoot werewolf Jughead with a silver bullet, causing him to like turn back into human, but he's still got the bullet in him. And so werewolf Bingo gets him out of there. And then we see Reggie at Riverdale High, who is recruiting and turning people into werewolves to build an army to go after Jughead. And that's the end of the issue of the trade. I mean, so kind of an awkward stop for a trade. It feels like the third issue of a 5-issue trade. You know what I mean? Not the end of this trade.
I guess it could have. It could still be the last issue of a trade if there were like another issue or two in there.
Yeah.
Just because it feels like we only went to like one place and then the end. You know, it just.
Yeah, true.
But the first page just kind of confused me because Bingo has like a bunch of bullet holes in his chest.
Yeah, I'm like, where'd you get those?
And, yeah, and then he pops out all the bullets and mm-hmm. shit, and he does not have any bullet holes in him initially, in the last issue.
Yeah, so does he shoot himself? Last page. Does he have Jughead shoot him?
I don't think so, but...
Or maybe he's been in his werewolf form for a while.
Yeah.
And then when he goes back to Bingo, human Bingo, that's when he has to shed him.
Maybe.
So he like scratches Jughead and that gets him like angry or something enough to turn into werewolf. And
yeah, he's like set off with a scratch. Like he's like the Hulk or something.
Yeah. And that's fine and dandy. But this panel where we see Jughead turn and his like face is still getting ripped off.
Yeah, like the skin.
Yeah, the skin's still there. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
That is such a good idea. You know, because I've never thought about that.
Like he's gotta like regrow his skin or something.
Yeah, like it must when he transitions back. But you like what think... happens to face skin when you're in the middle of that transition to hairy face?
You know I thought I mean? It just like stretched out and then your face grew hair.
That's probably what makes more sense.
Because this is like he's like shedding his skin.
Almost. Yeah, this is like werewolf. He's got the dog in him the whole time and then it just comes out. But yeah.
So to help like frame his death, basically Bingo, because since like werewolves heal, he chopped up his own arm and then like left it in a house and like set it on fire.
Yeah, as evidence that he was killed,
I and guess. That's crazy. And he's using like his like bones to like open up the blinds as like cops are coming.
I missed that.
That's oh so my funny. God, it's so fucked up. It's so gross.
Ew, dude. I didn't even see that. That's
so funny.
That's gross.
That was a good part.
Yeah, kind of a crazy plan because he chops his arm off, leaves it in the kitchen, and then he burns the house down. And I'm like, what if they didn't know who you were? There's not like a whole lot of
I guess like if there's records of who works there or who lives there.
That's true, but there's not a whole lot of identifying information on your hand. Though it could have been
yeah
other family members or whatever.
I guess if
the other I guess if family... he was the only one that was dead or living there, then yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so Betty and Archie go and visit like the her scar-faced like her face scarred aunt for some reason.
Yeah,
she's got like a scar on her face from being scratched by a wolf or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why they go to her.
I don't really know either, because they like they go to see the Cooper family and I think they're just the werewolf hunters, so I think they're just trying to come up with a plan or something maybe, but they don't.
And then
it's just kind of more lore, I think. And then you're like, oh, who's this with this scratch up face?
Yeah, it was just a weird thing to throw in there. I guess if you need to stretch it out a little bit, it's fine. But like, make it almost like a MacGuffin kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like you needed silver bullets or something and she had them. You know?
Yeah, I agree. But I like a lot of these ideas. Like it's so fun that they are kind of fleshing out this whole world based off this idea of like, oh, what if there's a werewolf in Archie? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because... you got the whole lineage of family being werewolves, and then you got werewolf hunters.
These like Elseworlds ones are just so like ripe for stories, you know?
That's what I'm, yeah.
And like, if you just throw like a new, I don't know, a new idea in there, and you can just work within this world, and you already know all the characters, you know?
Yeah, and it's fun seeing what they do with those characters, like, because having Betty be a part of a werewolf hunting family is like such a fun idea.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Because it implies that she's been fake friends with them this whole time trying to hunt werewolves, and I think that's just kind of a funny idea.
Right.
That's cool.
The circus folk, the carnies, they you know, corner the two werewolves, and then we see some pages of other stuff, and then they come back and they're just all dead on the ground.
Yeah, not even a chance.
I think we could have been owed like a couple kills.
Yeah, that would have been good. Because there's people with like their legs chopped off.
Like, I know we've seen other kills in this book, but when it's like a lot of people like that.
And some of them are dressed up as a clown, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Show me that.
I just don't love that, you know?
Yeah, but I think what's more impactful is that we see Archie and Betty fight them. And Betty, that's like, true. Chops off Bingo's arm with, like, a silver blade.
So and then
like,
Archie's the one to shoot Jughead.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good stuff. I think they just wanted to show that pointless scene where they're in that Cooper family mansion.
Yeah.
So that wasn't just all action, but...
Did you mention, like, the pack that come in, that comes to help, basically? Like, Bingo, like, is, like, carrying off Jughead. He's like, it's okay. The pack will know what to do.
Oh.
And you see a bunch of eyes in the woods.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So there's, like, a bunch of...
There's a bunch of them.
Werewolves in there.
Yeah, they must have helped.
I'm like, you guys are just, like, what, watching the rest of that?
yeah, I guess so.
In case they were overrun by the carnies?
Yeah. And I like this idea that Reggie is... turning people into werewolves that were like affected by Jughead's kills, like the Riverdale Ripper kills.
Yeah.
Because it's like the dad of Dilton. And I think the husband of Miss Grundy.
Yeah.
And then someone that is just there for the love of the game. But, and then Veronica.
But it's like, why would you like want to become the problem, you know?
Revenge.
I guess. And at that point, it kind of lost me. I'm like, all right, now we have like, seven werewolves?
So many werewolves to keep track of.
Yeah. So it's not...
But imagine Archie becomes a really good werewolf hunter.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
You gotta have some good covers. You got Francesco Francavilla.
Classic.
Very classic. That would have clickbaited me so hard if I saw that on the shelves.
Yeah, he does that with a lot of stuff.
He does. And he deserves it. We got some Michael Walsh covers. There's a guy named T-Rex who's doing covers.
Pretty good.
Good covers, better name.
Yeah.
that's a
Where bold... are you, T-Rex?
Where is T-Rex now? What else has he done?
Yeah.
It's probably pretty bad for SEO, you know, trying to find his books. But and then we get some character sketches by Pat and Tim Kennedy. That's what it was. And some sample pages, which is cool.
The character sketches are an interesting thing to put in a back matter. I'm like, we know what they look like.
Yeah, I know. You know? But you can see that there was a change because Reggie, I think in the beginning, had an eye patch. And he doesn't in this series. And then you see in the sample page, when Reggie's a werewolf, he has an eye patch. But that's not a thing that is a character defining trait.
Maybe lost an eye when he first got attacked or something. Because he didn't have an eye patch like in the diner scene, did he?
No.
Okay. So.
So I think they were trying to go a direction where he had, but like even the werewolf has an eye patch in this pencils like page.
Yeah. So we know which one's him.
Right. But then they don't do that in the actual book. So they kind of bailed on the eye patch idea.
Did they? I thought I saw a panel where his eyes fucked up, but.
Nah. And then, yeah, just a couple sample pages from each of the things. And then we get a bonus story from
bonus.
The Vampironica. We get like the first half of that issue, which is the one that is written by Greg Smallwood and Meg Smallwood with art by Greg Smallwood.
It might be like the full first issue.
I don't think so. Because
it's like 18 pages.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. Pretty swift read. Honestly, pretty awesome as well.
Oh my god.
This is when I like knew who Greg Smallwood was because of his Moon Knight stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, damn, that guy's a good artist. And I never picked this up.
I saw him in a list of the people who worked on this. I'm like, here we go. And I thought yeah, he just did a random issue of the Jughead one.
No, he did a full run on Vampironica, which this was pretty cool. I don't really like vampire stuff, but
pretty big fucking selling point.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what this is about. It's Greg Smallwood.
But when you see Veronica look fucking crazy with red eyes, I'm like, get me in there.
Not even that, dude. Just these, like, there's people at a party and I'm like, this looks great.
It does.
It's like, oh my god, he's so good.
There's a basically the story is just her, she's like already a vampire and she goes to a party and then there's like vampire hunters that are there trying to get her, or other vampires, maybe
other vampires trying to turn people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what it is.
So she's Blade.
She is pretty much Blade. But there's a scene where she's like saving somebody from being hit by a vampire, and then a vampire tackles her into the pool, and the pool gets all bloody. And then she walks out. And she's like, "Hey, Cheryl, great party!" Yeah. I'm like, "Oh my god, dude, this book has the sauce."
Yeah,
so super fun, and it bounces some like Betty versus Veronica to Archie stuff in there.
Yeah,
so,
a little bit of drama.
Some classic drama stuff in there. So super fun.
Her parents were like bitten by the vampire. Is this where she gets turned? Because she gets bitten. Or she was already a vampire.
She was already a vampire, okay. I think. In this issue, I think we figure out probably her origin of becoming a vampire later.
Yeah,
She gets into like a car crash with Reggie and then turns him into a vampire to like save him, I think. Or is about to do that.
Well, no, she like runs off when she smells his blood. And then the bad dude like checks up on him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. So pretty fun. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I give this a hot plate of nachos, Nathan. I think this is a nacho series. Nacho trade.
I would agree with.
It's just such a strong one shot, and maybe that it just being a one shot,
it's so beautiful.
Was kind of to its detriment.
Yeah,
because like it's like they had the one shot and then they just like continued with it.
Uh huh.
And so, like, the whole thing wasn't thought of first, you know. And when you have like Michael Walsh just killing it, and then like all the interesting stuff is kind of at the beginning for me, or my favorite parts were at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mostly because you're like, you don't know this world and it's kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is perfectly fine and enjoyable, but it's just like it. The first issue is the most enjoyable for me. So
yeah,
it's a very positive nacho series, you know, but I wouldn't like keep reading, you know.
I would agree with that.
Like
I would agree that like a lot of the really, really good stuff that draws you in is like right in the beginning. And when you're eating your plate of nachos, it's like, oh, I'm taking all these good bites first.
Like, I'd read, like, every other Chilling Adventures thing that Archie has, the Archie universe has, before ever coming back to this, you know?
I think that's valid.
So, that's just me, though. What would you rate it?
I would rate it some pumpkin bread.
Okay.
I think, man, such stellar first couple bites.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have any water or anything, like, wash it down. Maybe it starts to get a little bit dry and you're like, man, I don't know how long.
A little coffee or something.
Yeah, a little coffee would be good. So I'd say pumpkin bread without a drink, because the more I'm eating it, the more I'm like, okay, I'm going to suffocate if I if I keep going. And so I stopped kind of like halfway through that slice of pumpkin bread. You know what I mean?
So the thing with the crossover aspect, like none of this is like all in the same universe, because like Reggie's in this in the Vampironica issue. Where he's like a pretty main werewolf.
Right.
You know,
but who knows, he could be a werewolf.
The thing is that there is a Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica series.
Cool.
So I wonder if that's just like a separate timeline thing in order to make that work.
I don't know if they try and make it work, to be fair.
They have a series and it's real. So
who does the art on it?
I don't know. Give me a look.
No.
I can look anyway.
All right. You can look.
Joe Eisma. And Patton Tim Kennedy.
Oh, okay. So the artist on
Frank Thierry as well. So
got it.
And what do you think? The fine folk who review books at League of Comic Geeks, or people who put in their input, rated this.
I think it would be looked at pretty highly.
I mean, you haven't really heard about this book until I like kind of told you about it. Have you?
I feel like I've heard Jughead the Hunger before, but I thought it was a zombie book.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. Because, like, it makes sense. Like, he's hungry, you know?
Yeah, he's a hungry guy.
When I think of werewolves, I don't think, like, those guys are hungry.
Those are some hungry guys.
I just think they're kind of rabid and attack people.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, I would agree. But this trait does kind of get cut off. So I think it doesn't help the trait. So I would say this is like a 3.8.
Close. 3.9.
I was going to say 3.9. Ooh, I was so close to saying that. Fuck.
Just a sliver away.
Dude, I was so close.
Mostly positive.
I got a pretty good pulse on like what the fine people at League of Comic Geeks are saying, though.
It's only like so many scores people actually rate things.
It's never been like lower than 3.5 or above 4.7.
I see books get like pretty low if I'm like kind of interested in something just based off the name or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. So let's go into the pull list. Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you
shove in your box.
I didn't mention what I was getting last week.
Okay.
But we're getting Battle Beast number 6 and New Gods number 11.
Oh, yeah.
And then this week we have Absolute Wonder Woman number 13.
Fill-in issue, Matthias Bergara. He's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Of Step by Bloody Step fame.
Yeah.
Or Kona.
Is or it other fame?
Books. No, because no one knows about that book, but they should.
Wait. Of what was the other one you said?
Kona.
Kona?
Hora?
Chroma?
No.
I think it's Chroma.
No, it's definitely not Chroma.
The one that we read?
No, because that's the French dude.
Oh.
Kona, I'm pretty sure. C-O-N-A?
Like the beer?
No, that's K-O-N-A. I'm looking it up now.
Coda?
Coda!
I don't think it's Coda either.
I think it is Coda. Fuck! Hold on, give me a second. Coda. C-O-D-A.
Is that him?
That's him and Simon Spurrier, the same creative team for Step by Bloody Step.
Oh. I'm thinking something else.
It's like a fantasy book. I think I tried reading the first issue a while ago and I was like, maybe something else.
Okay.
But I think I would like it if I reread it.
So, okay. So there's that. There's Green Lantern number 28.
Mm-hmm.
There's Skinbreaker number 2.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm actually going to pick that up, but okay. Are you still reading Green Lantern Dark? Number 7 comes out of that.
They're still going?
Yeah, I guess so.
I have all the issues and I don't hate it. So yeah, I'm still picking it up.
Okay. And yeah, that's it. Did you read anything, Nathan?
I read DCKO.
Hmm.
Which stands for Detective Comics Knockout.
Yeah.
For those that don't know. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit already. Just a wild book. I mean, Scott Snyder, when he tries to do something with everybody, it's always got Darkseid in it, and it's always really confusing to try and follow from like a storyline perspective.
Are you going
to
get number 2?
Yeah, because no one fucking fought anybody. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They did, but not in like a tournament format. So, you know. Also, like Batman died. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, he was part of the bracket that they were advertising. But
was he?
Yeah. But so now maybe, at the end of this book, in this bracket, there's like a Joker smile over it. So I think it was like supposed to be like a little twist.
Maybe he didn't actually die then.
I don't know. Maybe he comes back, but.
I was thinking it'd be fun if we both filled out a bracket, Nathan.
I would love to fill out a bracket.
Yeah. I can send this to you. Where is Batman?
He's over here.
Oh, okay.
He's supposed to go up against Star Sapphire, but at the end of this book, it's like this same bracket, but there's like a little Joker smile, like spray painted over it. I think they're like crossing him out or whatever. So I think that means that Star Sapphire gets a bye.
Okay.
Which is good.
Right.
We like Star Sapphire.
Yeah, because it's like a race and like the first however many people get in.
I think on League of Comic Geeks, you can make a bracket and it'll like.
Okay. So do it that way.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll fill out our brackets, and then we get, like, 1 point if we get the first one right.
Oh, we'll both make our own?
Yeah.
Okay, I like
2 points, 2 points.
I hope they keep updating the bracket
throughout surely.
Each issue. Yeah.
I think on DC's website.
They'll have it
updated. That's where I got this. So it's not like it's not like March Madness or something where they, like, keep track of the score or anything, but.
Yeah, it's interesting because. You got to think about what would make the best story. So, like, I might want Plastic Man to win it all, but I don't think that, like, everybody would fuck with that.
Yeah, know? No, maybe semis.
Or it's like the Green Lantern in this is Guy Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do they want to push him because he's gonna be DC live action, like, Green Lantern
for a while? Yeah, because they're trying to. Find like the strongest person to be like the alpha or whatever.
Yeah, and you think it would just be Superman if it was like a fair fight, but there's like that would be boring too. So I don't think it's like any Trinity people that are gonna win this whole thing.
And also everyone's got like these like doomsday weapons or something.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make a rule like they can bring one weapon or something to this thing.
And then Superman has like I don't know, little like
he's got brass knuckles that brass are made knuckles, of suns, which is kind of cool.
Which is like, does he need anything?
Seems a little overpowered.
Yeah.
So I don't think any Trinity is going to win. I think now having read the issue, I think the absolute people, the characters are going to be in this. And maybe
Absolute Superman will fight regular Superman, and maybe that's how he gets taken out at some point, something like that. So I don't think it'll be Trinity that wins, but I'll make my bracket and announce it, I guess, next week.
Yeah, dude. I bet Damian Wayne goes all the way.
No, I'm going I'm going Starro all the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's already like a giant character, so it's like,
no, in this book he's like tiny.
It's, yeah, that's true, but it's like whoever wins becomes the giant character to fight giant Darkseid.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, I thought this shit was like a huge fuckfest of shit. It was very dialogue heavy, which might be just a number one syndrome kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they're gonna reel that back for sure now that they've set like, it up.
Just like, it reminded me of like why I don't really like events very much.
This is a prime example of like events being a little bit hard to get into.
Yeah, I mean, I like how dumb fun it is, mm-hmm. you know, but
I just hope it leans into that dumb fun more going right. forward. I think I get the feeling that they front loaded a lot of the lore just to get us there so that the rest of it can be just people punching each other. You know what I mean?
So what was that, like, Doomsday guy? There's like a smart Doomsday or something.
Yeah, he's like world something. He's like a skinny Doomsday that's like, he's like very wise.
Yeah.
And then apparently Booster Gold was inside of a Darkseid thing for a while.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know what that was
about. It's like fun or whatever, but it's not like $6 fun for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
What else did you read?
I read more of Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil. Just read issues 6, 7, and 8. This one does not have his artist in the first trade.
Cicchetto?
Yeah, Marco Cicchetto, thank you. It has somebody else. I can't remember their name.
Good? Or a bit of a drop-off that's distracting?
A bit of a drop-off that's distracting, I would say.
Mm.
But Jorge Fornes is in this issue, or in this trade. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, cool.
But Chip Zdarsky's writing is so good. It's like Matt's not even Daredevil right now, but keeps it interesting. Like, interesting to like the level of the show, I would say. Because there's a lot of like really interesting crime stuff, or just Matt Murdock interacting with crime people that are just really interesting. Or like different cops that are corrupt, and you kind of know like who's like, you know, everybody's motivations, and you know that if you get them in a room together, it'll be just an interesting conversation. And he's really, really good at that. Like, I was reading this kind of tired, and I was still kind of locked into their conversations, which is good. I think that's really hard to do.
For sure.
Just fleshing out different crime families and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple. So it's fun.
Cool.
I'm not quite to the point where I stopped reading when I was initially reading this, but it's really nice to run through this again.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. But that was all I read this week.
Okay.
What'd you read?
I read Everything Dead and Dying, number 2. Give that to you. Batman, number 2. That book is so good.
Batman?
Yeah. Matt Fraction is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I've tried, like, some of his stuff, and not everything, like, really clicks for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, and I think the last thing that I read all the way through and enjoyed was, like, Hawkeye, you know? Everything else I just kind of read, like, the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's, like, he's good when he wants to be, or if it's just maybe his big two stuff I click with.
I like his Iron Fist.
Okay. Yeah, that was good, but
there's also Ed Brubaker co-writing, so who knows?
Right. So it's kind of hard to tell. But yeah, it's just like, he's got like his plan just kind of, not even a plan, but like what he wants to do with this, like, worked out and just works really well.
Cool.
And I'm just like really stoked on it.
Yeah.
And he's just so good.
How's Jorge Jimenez in this issue?
The bomb.
Yeah, of course.
What do you mean?
that's just gold standard.
Yeah.
I just like that dude a lot.
Yeah. I read Superman, the Kryptonite Spectrum, number 2. Good issue. I like this more than one, personally. It's such a weird thing seeing this team do something like this fun.
Yeah.
You know, because I have like Ice Cream Man in the back of my head, and I feel like this will be kind of like that, but it's not, you know? And so it's just super interesting. And I'm really happy that this is something that's coming out, you know, because I think overall it'd be like, I don't know if everyone who's a Superman fan is like on this,
right?
You know, or is like knows about it. But I think it'll be just kind of a gem in the Superman bibliography, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's cool, because it didn't seem like you were super sold on issue one.
I wasn't, but like the art was like enough for me, and just like the concept
mm-hmm.
got me going. So yeah, still I'll keep reading that.
Sweet.
I read Battle Beast number 3. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's like all out now, but I'm never like itching to read it, but as soon as I do, I'm like, this is just how I like to read books.
It's just fun, dude.
It's just dumb fun. Ryan Otley is like my favorite artist. So just seeing him like go off is like, it just scratches a very special itch.
He's your favorite artist and you're not even caught up?
Yeah, dude. I'm a big fan. I didn't even read all of his Spider-Man stuff, you know, or his Hulk.
Sounds like you're not I'm just kidding. Yeah, I really love his stuff, but I could not get into the writer on Spider-Man.
I read over 100 issues of his Invincible, so I'm like...
That's true.
That's good enough. That's good enough for me.
That's enough ball knowledge.
I read more of his art than any other artist, so...
Wow, that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who that artist would be in my mind.
Rob Guillory, probably.
That's only 60 issues.
Have you
read... And Farmhand, I guess.
Have you read other 60-issue series with the same artist?
Probably, like, probably like Chris Somney, not like one series, but over all of his stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
I've read a good amount of his Captain America and Black Widow and other shit. That's not even touching Firepower.
Firepower. So I have Daredevil the first and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Daredevil. So probably
there's like 27 issues Menace. Of Firepower. So then I read Ultimate Hawkeye number 1, which I guess is a one shot.
Yeah, because like, the whole universe is like dying right now. So
yeah, but I don't think it's not like it was canceled or anything. Like I think it was just a one shot to focus on him because I think he's in the Ultimates or something.
That sounds right.
So yeah, that was like whatever. If it was like the start of a series, I think it maybe be I'd think about it.
Okay.
More highly, but the fact that it was only one shot, it felt like it wasn't a very self-contained story. You know.
Right.
It was just kind of like a spin-off of something else, you know?
Got it. I didn't know that.
So, it's whatever. Then I read Animal Pound, number 1 and 2.
Ooh, Tom King.
Tom King.
Peter Gross.
I
have the first 3 issues of that, and I never read it.
Yeah, I have all of it.
Is it good?
Yeah. Did you ever experience or watch, like, Animal Farm?
I've read the book.
You have read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that, but like kind of more of an updated version of it where it's like animals in a pound, you know?
Right.
It's good. It's super dense.
Oof.
So it's a little tough to get through that, but I like the metaphors of it, and it like really fits well into the setting that he has it. So I think the first issue is probably the densest, but it is like 28 page stories, so it's kind of big.
Got it. That's cool.
What'd you watch, Ethan? You watch a lot of stuff?
I did watch a lot of stuff, actually. I gotta write one more down so I don't forget, because I just remembered. I saw not one movie in theaters, not 2 movies in theaters.
You saw multiple?
I saw 3 movies in theaters this week.
Dude, you do double feature?
I didn't. They were all on different fucking days this week.
Dang, keeping the
2 of them were
the
pretty
film industry alive.
Yeah, I really am. The comedy industry alive is what I'm keeping.
Did you go to Go Sophia all those times?
No.
Okay.
I saw Roofman with Parker.
Really?
Yeah, he like we weren't planning on hanging out. I didn't know he was available, but he's like, I'm in Phoenix and Emily left me, so do you want to hang out? And I was like, yeah, I'll come pick you up.
She left the marriage?
No. That'd be a crazy thing to drop. No, she was hanging out with
the first thing he does is go see Roofman.
Yeah. But like when we came up with these plans, he like we started hanging out at like 9:20 or something, so not a lot of time to go see a movie. And so the only thing that was available that I could see with him was Roofman, which is the Channing, you know what I'm that movie
yeah.
is the Channing Tatum one. And I like the movie. I just don't know why it's rated R. Like, I know why it's rated R because there's like a titty in there.
Okay.
But you could edit out 5 seconds of this movie and it would be maybe even a PG movie.
Interesting.
And it's so bizarre. Like, I don't even think there's that many F-bombs that they drop to make it like a rated R rating.
Right.
I think there is one.
Because then you like, get away with like a handful of them.
Because it's like a pretty wholesome movie, I would say.
Okay.
Because the idea is, it's based off a true story. They play like news clips and stuff at the end of the movie to like show you who the guy was. But Channing Tatum's character is this guy that was in the Marines, and he's like pretty smart Marine guy, but he's now out of the Marines and can't hold a job or whatever. And so he robs different like McDonald's or Burger King's by entering through the roof, and he stays there until like the workers come to open the shop in the morning, and that's when he like takes the money. And he was doing that for like a while, then he gets arrested, goes to prison, and then he escapes prison and he hangs out in a Toys R Us, like just hiding there while like they stop the search for him. But over the course of that, he like finds out about Kirsten Dunst's character in this movie, and she like goes to church and stuff. And he like, while he was in this Toys R Us, he sets up like a baby monitor in the manager's office just to like see what they're saying, I guess. And finds out that Kirsten Dunst's character volunteers at a church, and they're doing a toy drive. But the manager's like a huge dick, so he just steals some toys and like donates them, and then falls in love with her at the church and stuff.
Mm.
So it's like pretty wholesome story. And he eventually like starts dating her. He says that he just works for the government, and it's just like classified stuff that he does. Pretty good movie. I just don't know why it's labeled a comedy. There's some like funny parts.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a weird, like weird tonally, I guess.
Okay.
I don't think it's bad even. It just doesn't really know what it is. It doesn't lean enough into like the romance stuff or into the comedy stuff or into the crime stuff. Like it doesn't pick anything, it feels like.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's based off a true story, it just kind of ends him getting arrested again. So I don't know. Kind of a crazy movie. It starts off really funny though. So I don't know where it went. It's just kind of interesting.
Okay.
And then I saw Good Fortune, which is Keanu Reeves is an angel and he helps Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
That one I had to see with Sophia because she loves Keanu Reeves.
Right.
And he's so funny in this movie.
Nice.
But just because he's Keanu Reeves, I don't know. It's kind of crazy because Seth Rogen is the best actor in this movie. Kiki Palmer's in it, but you don't really see like that much of her necessarily.
Sure.
But the concept of that one is Aziz Ansari is like doing DoorDash type stuff. And then he meets this like super rich guy, which is Seth Rogen, and an angel tries to show Aziz Ansari's character that his life has value. And he tries to show him that being rich isn't all that it's supposed to be. And so he has them like switch places to show him that being rich isn't all that, but then being rich is all that. And it like solves all of his problems.
Yeah.
and then Gabriel, Keanu Reeves' character, loses his wings. And so now he's just a human. And so it's just Seth Rogen and Keanu Reeves for like half the movie. Have to like figure out how to hold a job and like get money, and it shows like Seth Rogen gaining a new perspective on like being this like super rich investor guy. I really like the movie. I don't think it's like a incredible comedy, just because some of the acting and editing you could tell is like a little bit choppy. But it's really funny, and I think Keanu Reeves is a perfect cast because he's such a weird actor.
Yeah,
like not a very good actor, I would say.
Yeah, no,
but so charming and just kind of weird in his own way that he feels like somebody that's being a human for the first time. Whenever he's just like acting.
Maybe he's doing that on purpose.
Oh my God. He might be. If he's leaning into it, he's amazing. But
he doesn't seem that different in interviews or anything. So
no, he doesn't. He talks the same, and just like, he sounds like his John Wick character a little bit, just less whispery.
Can you believe that dude's like almost in like 100 movies?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, who lets him act in these movies? I mean, I like him in every single movie he is. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
But he's fucking awesome in this. Like, so many funny moments with him and Seth Rogen. So I liked it a lot. I recommend.
It's cool dynamic.
Yeah. And then I watched Spirited Away for the first time.
In theaters. Nice.
Subbed, which is cool.
Nice.
And that movie fucking rules.
Yeah.
It's narratively the best Studio Ghibli movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I could name it my favorite.
Really?
It's tied pretty much. I just like Howl's Moving Castle like a lot.
Yeah, been nostalgic there.
But I can agree that it's a better movie than Howl's Moving Castle. I just don't know if I personally like it more.
Sure.
But man, there's so many whimsical creatures in this.
Mm-hmm.
The story is like pretty easy to follow, I would say, which is kind of not the case for a lot of Studio Ghibli movies.
Mm.
But there's a clear objective which I appreciate. Because in like My Neighbor Totoro, nothing happens in that movie.
Oh.
Like nothing ever, there's never like a problem and nothing ever gets resolved when there is a problem like later in the movie. I don't know. It's, that's just a weird movie. But this one's great. I definitely recommend watching it. And I could see why like IMDb rated it as like the best animated movie or whatever.
Yeah.
So really cool.
Was that like a full theater or?
There was like 8 people there.
Nah.
Including us two. But we saw like a later showing.
Okay.
But I guess just for the month of October / some of November, I think they just do different Studio Ghibli movies.
Yeah.
Which is cool because I like seeing them in theaters.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, most movies are better in theaters.
I would agree. And then I started watching Marvel Zombies just because I wanted something to put on.
Sure.
It's about what I expected.
Yeah.
I like that Blade is Moon Knight. What the fuck was that idea?
Yeah.
I was like, Mahershala Ali is Moon Knight now? What is this about?
Yeah.
But it's pretty much what I expected with like just the most random characters being in there.
Does he voice that character?
I think so. It looks like Mahershala Ali. I want to say it's him. And it sounds like him too. But I don't see a whole lot of Mahershala Ali movies.
No, someone named Todd Williams.
Never mind then.
So, yeah, maybe just doing like a Mahershala Ali impression. Because I feel like that'd be kind of weird.
His name's Blade Knight.
Blade Knight.
That's so cool. I don't know why they don't do that. I mean, I guess Blade never made a debut in the MCU, so they could just cast whoever in that. But I don't know. I like Kamala Khan in this quite a bit. It makes sense that she's in there because she has powers that will just make it so that she's not bit a whole lot. So I like her inclusion, but yeah, everybody else just feels very random.
Her specific MCU
powers
is really good for zombies. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, they have some cool parts. It seems like they focus on one cool part every episode.
Yeah.
And that's what might get me to watch the rest.
The trailer is all the cool parts, you know?
So, I would agree with that. Yeah.
So I think you could probably just watch the trailer and like get a feel for the good stuff.
Yeah. I watched the first 2 episodes and I fell asleep halfway through the second episode. So
yeah. I just watched The Big Lebowski.
Cool. Good movie. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long time ago. Sarah said I could put in whatever I wanted, and I used it to watch a Coen Brothers movie.
Nice.
I don't think she was as into it as I was. I didn't realize how much of a stoner movie it was.
You didn't? That's like the whole point.
I didn't know he smoked weed. I forgot about that part.
Mm.
And good movie to watch high as well, as I would add.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that movie, that's really funny. It's like it's like a very specific.
It's kind of like an awkward funny.
Kind of, yeah. Just the dude is like the best, and just all the lines just are delivered in a specific way, and it's all
John Goodman kills me in that movie.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
So it's like a very specific type of sense of humor that I don't think Sarah has.
Okay.
Like,
I mean, that's valid. I think if I show the movie to Sophie, she'd be like, what is going on?
I think I have to watch movies that I like, I have to put them on without her knowing, because for some reason she just doesn't like things that make me happy. Because if I talk about something too much, she'll be like, nope, not watching it. You know?
You're going to be insufferable.
Yeah, she likes stuff that we both haven't seen for some reason. And she's more down for those than stuff that I know is good.
Lame.
And that's our dynamic.
She just doesn't understand you.
Yeah, I know. I think maybe she just wasn't as keen on Hot Rod, which is crazy. And so
I can get that.
That kind of burned her, I guess, for
when did you watch Hot Rod with her?
Early on when we were dating.
relationship?
Yeah.
And you were like, let's watch Hot Rod.
I'm like, this is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
It's the best movie ever made. Yeah.
And she's I'm just laughing to myself. And she's just like staring at it.
Yeah, I've never watched that movie solo with Sophie. But I think she knows it's my favorite movie. We watched it in like a group setting.
Yeah.
But if it was just me and she was right next to me, the ratio of like laughs that she would get versus mine,
right,
just insane.
But yeah, good movie. I didn't watch that much. So what are you gonna be next week, Nathan?
No longer spooky month.
Yep.
So a non-spooky book, I would assume. Is there stuff coming out? It's the end of the year. There's a lot coming out. Is it Predator time?
Yeah. So yeah, Predator. That's something that came out. But if you don't want to do another Predator, it's fine.
I'm down for Predator.
We already did another a Predator, you know, this mm-hmm. year. There's also that Bat-Fam movie or show.
Oh, yeah. Is that like a sequel to the Batman Christmas movie animated? It's the exact same cast and animation style.
There's a Christmas movie?
Yeah, it was like an Amazon Prime original Batman Christmas movie.
What's it called?
Batman, but it's Christmas. I don't know what it's called.
Is Batman Christmas in the title?
Dude, it might just be called Batman. I watched it on a plane. Fuck. But it's definitely like a sequel to that. And I didn't think that it was going to be that popular to get a sequel. Merry Little Batman.
Merry Little... Let me...
And it's got Luke Wilson as Batman.
Yeah. Okay. Does he have like Batman with like a big chin? Oh, yeah, and, like, it a beard. Is. Whoa.
Yeah, so when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is just
yeah, it more is a that. Sequel. That's crazy.
This movie was crazy.
I'll have to watch that.
I was just like, it's not like great.
I'll have to watch it.
But it was fun enough when I was delirious on like a 12-hour flight.
Wow. So that comes okay, out.
So what book could we read with this?
So we're not going to do another Fantastic Four movie for Thanksgiving. So
yeah.
A Bat Family book okay. could work. The only thing I could think of was Death of the Family.
Maybe not the... I mean, I'm down to do that, actually, to be honest. Because they do all sit at a table in one scene. That's kind of nice.
Is that... And then also, the 5th of November is...
We're not reading View for Vendetta.
Oh, my God. Okay, I just threw it out there.
Maybe next time. But I got to start reading our 300th episode book pretty soon. So,
dude, you got to get on that.
I do. It's so close.
So, Predator or a Bat Family book?
I'm down for Predator and then a Bat Family book for Thanksgiving.
Okay, so let me just kind of go through November real quick.
Okay.
It might be good to read the book. November, Matt Fraction and...
Okay, I'm down for that.
What's her name? Elsa Chartier.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger Things final season comes out.
Who cares?
There are Stranger Things comics. Specifically, there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Stranger Things.
Okay, now we're rocking.
I thought that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Is there a trade of that already?
Yeah, that came out like a year ago, I think.
Oh, I can't wait to be so lost reading that.
Have you watched any Stranger Things?
No.
Oh, okay. It's fine. And then Wicked for Good comes out, the mm-hmm. sequel to Wicked.
Yep, I've seen the movie.
And there are Wizard of Oz comics. There's one specifically with art by Scotty Young.
Really?
Yeah.
Like young Scotty Young?
Yeah, ish.
Mm. Okay, cool.
So there's like that. So those are like the four that I was kind of floating around with.
Okay.
So whatever we do this week
will be like the Thanksgiving thing, essentially?
Essentially. So there's not necessarily like a Thanksgiving book that we'd have coming out that week, you know?
Mm. What do you think would be better?
I'll just go with whatever you think. I think I'd rather do
Bat Family. Okay, we
can do that. Just because like... I feel like we don't do that much Batman.
No, we don't.
It is like the third trade of that Batman run.
That's fine.
The New 52. So, ooh,
yeah. That's Death of the Family.
Death of the Family.
Yeah.
There's Joker, Death of the Family. That's the one that has like all the spinoffs of the Bat Family.
Nope.
Yeah, that's like 400 pages, I think. So, just the normal Batman trade. Yeah,
let's do that. Okay. That sounds fun.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Another spooky month in the books.
Let us know if we should read Vampironica next year.
Yeah. Email in at traverspod@gmail.com. What's your favorite spooky Archie book? And why is it Afterlife with Archie?
What's your second favorite Archie book if that's your favorite?
And always more horror recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Between the bio, like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that. And goodbye.
Goodbye.